Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Lighthouse. We are thrilled to be on air tonight, and we have a great show this evening. Our topic this evening is feeling stagnant and moving into change, how to find the flow and let it roll. My name is Tina Godin, and I am your host this evening. And with me is Natasha Scott and Shannon Johnson. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, Tina.
Hello. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Shannon. Hi, Natasha. It's so good to be with you guys this evening. We have a fantastic topic to talk about. So much has been going on. We're in Mercury retrograde. I know a lot of people are just, you know, feeling, you know, just run down in a fog, COVID. Thankfully, things are opening up and lifting for us, but some of us still struggle with that feeling of being out of alignment and just things being stagnant. How do you guys feel about that?
Definitely, I do notice some people are talking about that. But I'm also seeing a lot of people make changes too. They're changing either where they live or their job. And I think that's part of the energy right now, is to get you to where you're supposed to be if you're not already there. So that's definitely a big theme. People are making changes. I think there's gonna be a lot of changes from 2020 to 2022. That's a huge 3-year block of time. And we're all positioning ourselves to where we want to be, I think, for the 5D world. That's what I think.
How about you, Shannon?
Yeah, it's been quite an interesting ride lately, to say the least. But I agree that the change, the energy of change is so much on us right now. And it's really making people uncomfortable, me included. And I was feeling very stagnant for a little bit. I almost walked away from mediumship 100%.
Wow.
I was contemplating it really, really heavy. Yeah. Because I was feeling really stagnant. And when I feel really stagnant, I'm constantly looking for, well, where's the next adventure? And I need challenges. When I don't have a challenge happening, I tend to start to get antsy, like, okay, where is it? It's hiding on me. I need to seek it out and find it. So I was, the last several months, really going through a lot of debate with myself about walking away from my spiritual work and just saying, being done and moving on to something else. Had no clue what that was. Yeah, between having last year of everybody having the time out and really having to face things that we haven't wanted to look at because everybody's been so busy, has really brought about a lot of that reflection, having to look at it and kind of go, okay, where do I need to move? What direction is the energy telling me that I'm sitting still and I need to get some movement going? So that's been a big one for me the last few months, especially.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, I've felt exactly the same myself. You know, certain things in my life weren't working out, even though I wanted them to. And it seemed like no matter what I did, I just kept walking into a wall, right? And, you know, when that happens, you kind of have to stand back and just say, okay, you know, why is this happening? Maybe this is spirit's way of moving me somewhere else in a different direction. If it's not working out for me, could be that you need to take a break. And just kind of go within and see, you know, what's coming up, what you're feeling. And I definitely had many, many, many days where I had to do some self-reflection. I had to go within and really be honest, really honest with myself on what isn't working. What are my goals? What do I want to achieve? And to start working on manifesting some of those things that I want in my life. And so with that, when you're stagnant, it's difficult to manifest, right? Because that energy isn't going in that direction of manifestation. And so it's like stuck in this bubble. It's like this mud, you know? Did you ever, I mean, if you can imagine just standing in boots and mud all the way up to your knees and trying to walk through that, that's exactly how this last year and a half has felt, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so, but you know, you get fatigued, I think, because it's been so long. You know, it's not really like an up and down thing that's been happening. It's more of, it just keeps going. And it's like, is it ever, am I ever going to get out of this mud, right? Am I ever going to have the strength to just take that step, albeit a big step, and just wash those boots off, right?
Yeah.
So it's been challenging, that's for sure.
Yeah. I've had to do a lot of reflection as well of, okay, where am I at? What do I need? And what do I want? And there's been some conflict in those, which I didn't think would be there.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because, you know, all of us, we've been on our spiritual paths for quite some time. You know, it's not like we're beginners that are still sorting through in those first, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. We've been in this for quite a long time, all three of us. So, you know, it's like, oh, well, wait a minute. I thought I had it figured out. I thought we were all in agreement over here, spirit guides. We had this figured out. And then they're like, yeah, no. Surprise.
Oh, no. I was going to say for me, I haven't really questioned my spiritual path. Like I have just kept on going. Mm-hmm. The only thing I heard someone saying, and she totally made sense, is like, you know, when you want to achieve these goals and dreams you've set out with us, you know, it's connected to spirituality. With someone else, it could be connected to their ideal career. But, what I noticed that she said, and I'm like, oh, I have to put it into practice. And I started doing that. She said, like, when you get up in the morning, do immediately what it is that you're meant to be doing. Don't put it off till later because there's other things that you have to worry about. Start living it right now. So, you know, you'll achieve those goals much faster. So then I started getting up and playing some music that connects me to source. And then also exercising, because I want to get into shape. And I'm like, and then when you get into shape, you feel more powerful. And when you connect to source immediately in the morning instead of later in the day, you're making decisions from a higher level. So that's what I started to implement. And then I feel much better. And then I feel like, you know, I am the captain of my ship instead of feeling like, you know, you're just being moved around with the storm.
I love that.
Yeah. So yeah, I just started implementing those little things and I find it's really helpful. And then, yeah, you're catching yourself through the daytime. Yeah.
Fantastic. So. Yeah. I mean, when you get up in the morning, I agree. You know, starting by getting into your power first thing in the morning, connecting to source is going to shape the way that the rest of your day goes. And it's absolutely important to do that. And sometimes we know life gets busy, right? If you have children, that's tough, you know, so it can be difficult whether you're going to a full-time job, whether your children are running around, you're teaching school, or whatever it might be that you are doing in your life. The thing of it is there is time to put that first. And there is time to sit into a 5-minute meditation just by yourself and do that connection. And so it's kind of like exercising. You know, you can make so many excuses not to do it, right? And then it just never happens. And so if you can train yourself to do that first thing in the morning, that is fantastic. It does take discipline, you know, to do that, but it can be done. And then it becomes routine. So once something becomes routine, you know, it just gets easier and easier and easier. And we forget that during high stress. We forget that during anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. 21 days to break or make a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you can get through the first 21 days of doing it, it gets a whole lot easier because it becomes part of the routine. And I know for me, I need to start actually getting out of bed in the morning.
Oh, Shannon's so lucky. I got to work
doing
the
whole
Monday to Friday.
You know, I start waking up like, you know, 4:30 in the morning and it's run to the bathroom and I look at the clock and I'm like, nope. Hubby gets up at 6:30 and I'm like, 6:30. Okay. And then he leaves and I'm doing the whole 8 o'clock. No, I'm not getting out of the bed until that says 9:30. And I'm back under the covers. Most of the time I'm not sleeping though. And one thing, because I have a lot of trouble sleeping now as a menopausal older woman. And my doctor was like, are you sleeping? I was like, some. She's like, okay. But yeah, instead I'm finding myself, I do a gratitude prayer and I take myself into a meditation. Because I tend to not get time to meditate when I'm up and about. I am very up and I'm kind of like one of those annoying flies in a house that is never sitting still. Mm-hmm. I'm up and down and buzzing, doing this and that, tearing my house apart all the time. It's very difficult for me to get back in for a meditation where I'm quiet because my connection with spirit, once I'm awake and conscious, is like on and going. So my day has to, you know, kind of manage that throughout. But I'm finding that doing the meditation in those early morning hours, since I'm not able to get back to a REM sleep, has really helped shift some of that. But I do need to make myself get out of the bed a little earlier.
You know what? I normally sleep okay, but I haven't been sleeping well since we had the lunar eclipse on May 26th. Mm-hmm. That's when my sleep got messed up. So.
So what are you guys's, like, what are your top three go-tos when you're feeling stuck?
Well, I'll go first. For me, you know, the first thing that I have to be out in nature. I am so connected to nature and I love to go hiking. I absolutely, it's my number one top thing to do is to go hiking. And if it's in the winter months, I want to go skiing. And so it's something about being on a mountaintop, just that elevation, breathing in fresh air. And so that helps me get out of that stagnant energy and I get my body moving and I feel so much better. Now, if I can't go hiking, my second would be walking, just to go for a walk. And I like to go to the park and take pictures. Mm-hmm. And so those three things for me really gets me back, you know, out of that stagnant energy and getting into that flow. How about you, Natasha? Okay.
Well, I live near a river, so I try to go down there as much as I can. So I do my walking there. I take a lot of photos. There's lots of beautiful nature the swans, the geese, a great blue heron. I've got good video footage of him fishing and catching the little fish. It's really cute. It's very, very nice by the river. Like when I sit down on a bench just to take it all in, I lose track of time. There's like no time when I'm there. I literally have to look at my cell phone or I would probably be there for 4 hours and have no idea. And I also like to listen to meditation music because if I get stressed or anything, it resets me. So does my essential rose oil. They'll both reset me and bring me back to zero point. And the other thing I like to do is a bath with Epsom salts and candles and just relax. And that's also grounding and healing.
Very nice.
Yes.
So how about you, Jess? Nice. I'm probably the oddball. Mine is one of my number one actually is that I will put on rock and roll on my stereo and it's really, really loud. Like everybody knows if the house is like boom, 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 I'm either cleaning or I'm thinking. And I'm usually dancing around the house barefoot. And my number one is Collective Soul. As far as rock bands, they're my go-to. It talks to me. Mm-hmm. And I literally will dance it out. Dance until I am exhausted and my brain has no choice but to shut up and sit down because it's worn out. And then it's like, oh, so clear. Oh, I feel so much better. And everything starts to fall back into place. You know, my other one is cleaning. I clean like a fiend. If I am stressed or stuck in my head and I'm trying to figure out what is going to get me back in the flow, I start scrubbing and cleaning. I mean, I'm the person that's cleaning out the junk drawers and just, you know, my poor closet, it gets tackled like a couple times a year because I'll feel stuck. And then I'm like, it's in the closet. I know it's hiding in the closet. And I go through and I'm like, N-n-n-n-n-n, you're out of here. You're out of here. Throw stuff out. It's a way that I find that my head gets out of my way. And I can let my emotions finally have a voice to my head instead of my head sitting there trying to, you know, I strategize a lot in my head. I have a lot of that accounting, left brain, analytical thinking. And so I'll get stuck in a loop. And I'm trying to sort that out. And I'm sure it's that double Libra energy too, all that air, you know, you gotta sort it out. So those things end up forcing my mental body to have to focus on what the physical body is doing. And it'll finally let my emotions come up enough that I'll acknowledge it and get that movement to happen. And then that's when I get the clarity. It's like, oh, that's how I get back into the role of things. Okay, now I got it. You know, and my third one would be my cat. My kitties are my dolls. But yeah, I'll grab Tika and we'll have hair time. I know that sounds funny, but ever since she has been with me as a kitten, she likes to get in my hair and she cleans it and snuggles and everything, and she's usually purring like crazy, but you know, and if you think about it, she's always up on my left shoulder, which brings her right across my heart chakra, and that purring, that love and that purring, and I'll start to breathe, and then it's like, okay, now I can see what I need to do. You know, my poor cat, she's probably like, you know, I can only clean your hair so much, woman. You got to do something. But It's a good thing she loves me. Because I'm always like, come here. Let's have a little mommy time. Okay, mom needs you right now. But it does. It'll bring my anxiety will come right back down. And then I'm like, okay, all right, now I can think straight. And I'll usually start dancing with her as well. I rock and dance as I'm listening to the purrs. And I'm like, okay, now I can breathe. Now I can address and move forward. And it's funny because I've done many different strategies and I've learned a lot of different techniques. You know, I've attended those business seminars and stuff way back in the day. And those techniques don't work for me anymore.
Yeah.
These weird ones do.
Yeah, it's an individual thing. I think it's fantastic. But it's what's also great is that you know what you need. So you're feeling into it, you're just going with that flow and you're not really thinking about it too much. It's just, you know, you're feeling into those senses of what you need and you're honoring that. And so I think that's fantastic for you to, you know, tune in and know what works for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's for everyone. And listeners, you know, what works for one may not work for the next person. So you just have to kind of find your own rhythm and find what works for you. And I think that's great. I love the cat. I love them all. And music, I do the same thing. And cleaning, I mean, well, you know what I do for a living, right? Yeah. So it's there's definitely different ways that we can, you know, get out of that stagnant energy. And so it's just amazing. And so I, you know, suggest everyone that's listening to go out there and find what works best for you. It may be the cat thing just that blows my mind. I can see it happening. and I love it. And that purring, it's so true. And that purring is so healing. And it is amazing. Animals are amazing. That's for sure.
Yes. So how do you guys pick up, like when we're dealing with that choice that's sitting in front of us? And we know our tools we just talked about that we like to go to. Mm-hmm. But when you're facing the choice, what is your, kind of your way of movement in how you end up making it to make that move?
You mean how to take that first step to get there?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, for me, it's a mental thing, right? And so for me, it's the acknowledgement of something needs to change. And I don't know what it is at that moment, but I know that, you know, if I go for a hike, I'll get that clarity because it works for me. I don't know how many times mm-hmm. I've gone for either a walk or a hike or taking pictures, and I'll get, you know, that connection to spirit, to my spirit guides and different ideas and thoughts and the flow. I mean, you can just feel it. It just starts and I feel better. And so it's just the acknowledgement first of, you know, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really know how to change this. You know, and instead of ignoring it, to just go for that walk, because all the time it's proven itself to me that
it's 6 o'clock.
I will get that message from spirit, what I need to do.
How about you, Natasha?
For me, it's just following intuition. And just sinking into how you feel when you think about it, like, what are the emotions you experience? So pretend it could be your job. when you think about your job, are you calm and peaceful, or are you going into anxiety and discomfort? So yeah, your emotional reaction to things is an excellent barometer for how it feels in your body and how it feels to your heart. And so generally, like, if it doesn't feel really bad, you're probably doing okay, right? So if there's like just a lot of negative emotions with whatever situation is in your life at the moment, then you need to look at that, and then you need to decide how you can move ahead and be willing to take risks by making a big change. So it's like that. It won't feel right. Like when I was still living in the bigger city I was living in 2019, I knew it was time to leave the city. I knew it for a few years, but that last year it was getting pretty strong. I was looking at how everyone was acting around me, and just people were more hyper, for lack of a better word, and it didn't feel comfortable. I wanted a slower pace, etc. And now I live in a town of 32,000 people, so I knew it was time. And it was the first time I moved out of the city. I lived in that city since I was a child, so it was a huge risk, but it had a lot of reward. So it'll be like that. It just won't feel right anymore, and then, you know, you follow it, you follow that feeling.
I like that. I like that. Good from both of you guys. Gosh. I like that. For me, it's kind of weird. I tend to get my body temperature increases when it's something that I really need to move towards. When I focus on it or ask about it, you know, and I'm asking in my head to my spirit guides, my body temperature increases when it's good. When it's not, I start to shake and get cold.
That's a very strong response.
Yeah. And it took me many years to figure that out. You know, as a younger woman, I thought it was just kind of like I was weird. And, you know, I really didn't have any clue what it was. You know, I just knew that when I would like think about this thing, I'd get like all this shaking and anxiety about it, and I'd start cold sweat. But I'd do that other job interview and I'd walk out of there and I'm like warm and hot and my body temperature has gone up, and yet I'm sweating again. I guess sweating is a thing for me, because then it's the hot sweat. Okay. And I end up going to the whatever was the warm, the hot. And otherwise I get that physical reaction of very cold, like chilled to the bone. Unsettling. I got to move away from it. And I, there's been times that I couldn't get out of places fast enough. Even job interviews and stuff that would happen. And I never understood it as a young woman, because I didn't understand myself energetically. But, you know, in the last several years of staying in my spiritual work, I've noticed every time I get challenged in having to make that choice, I literally have a physical reaction to it.
But, you know, when you're talking about that, because I will get warm and sweaty when I'm connecting to spirit, basically. But I mean stronger than usual. If it's stronger, I will get that as well. So I think a lot of people won't even realize if they're starting to get hot and sweaty, that's you're connecting to your guides, or you're connecting to source energy, whatever it feels like to you. Mm-hmm. But that's a sign your abilities are, they're working pretty intensely. The other thing I'll get is the fire on the bottom of my feet. And sure enough, during that time, I will be channeling information. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But that's good. That's a lot of help to have when you realize how it works.
Yeah.
At first you're like, my thermometer in my body doesn't work quite right.
Yeah, I thought it was broken for a long time, you know, and you know, my mom would ask me, you know, are you feeling okay? Do you have a fever? Did you take your temperature? And I'm like, I don't have a temperature. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just weird. I don't know. You know, you're just like, people don't notice this, please. But yeah, and it's gotten a whole lot better since getting more and more, I guess, trusting. Mm-hmm. In the energy that I'm feeling and not, you know, pushing against it like I used to. But yeah, it's like, okay, all right, we're good. But as soon as I start to feel that nervousness, man, I'm out the door. I'm like, we're shoving up some this other stuff. No, that's not for me. It's got to go away and get it away quick, because I almost feel like I'm going to go into a panic attack from it, because it makes me race, makes my energy race. And it's that cold that you're like, okay, that's a little weird, but you know, all right then. But yeah, with spirit, I will agree though, when I'm doing a session, I have to be barefoot, because my body temperature elevates and elevates and elevates. I've only had a few spirits that instead gave me the colds.
Okay.
Yeah. Very rarely do I get those. Usually it's the hot. But they have those. And it was very strange. I think it had something more to do with the way that they wanted to present themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about you, Tina? Do you feel the heat when you're connecting?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, sometimes, I mean, when I'm in my home and on Zoom, I'm usually barefoot, and like Shannon, it's because I'll get overheated. Mm-hmm. And it also, I don't know, it just feels better for me. But I definitely notice, like, from my neck up, and I can feel myself sweating, and it, you know, just definitely has an effect when I'm connecting to spirit. It definitely rises my temperature. And the other thing that's really weird is, like, the top of my head will get itchy, although, you know, when you're doing a reading, you don't want to be scratching your head, you know. So I sit and suffer. Just so everybody knows, my head gets very tingly, very itchy, and I just have to deal with it, and it is what it is.
Oh, you make me giggle with that one, because there has been so many times that I have been on camera and I have to tell the client, I swear I don't have head lice, I'm serious, okay, but they are making my head scratch itch so much.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I was gonna say, sometimes I feel like someone's fluffing my hair, and I assume that's my spiritual team working on my crown chakra. Is that kind of what you're talking about, Tina?
Yeah, it's like that, but it's itchy. It's very itchy.
Oh, and okay.
I don't
have the itchy part.
Yeah, and it's when my body temperature rises.
Oh,
I'll be fine. Okay. But then as soon as I'm connecting, and it just, you know, my temperature is going up, and then it goes right to my head. I'm itchy, and I just got to deal with it. But you know, what happens is I end up forgetting about it, because I'm, you know, when you're in the reading, when you're, you know, connecting to spirit, you do kind of like lose a sense of self. So, you know, it will go away. But as soon as I'm done and I disconnect, then the feeling comes back, you know? So it's quite funny. Yeah.
For me, it's like getting, you know, when you get the chills or the goosebumps, mm-hmm. it's like having goosebumps on my scalp. Oh. So they're tingly and tickly, and then they get the itchies because the hair is there. <You're> like, just want to rub my head.
I can imagine everybody listening to us right now is scratching their head. We made everyone itchy.
It doesn't feel itchy to me at all. It just feels fluffy. I feel like someone invisible is styling my hair.
That is nice, though.
Yeah, it does feel nice. It feels very nice.
But that is so funny.
Oh, goodness. Oh, I love that. What do you guys, what advice do you have for our listeners when we have community or collective faced with stagnant or major changes? And sometimes they may or may not conflict with you. How do you navigate those? Because we're all in different types of communities. So I'm kind of curious how you guys approach that.
Well, the first thing is I don't get absorbed in fear. So if it's something going on, whether it's collectively or in the community where there's fear involved, I try not to get too close to that energy. I kind of, you know, I shield myself from that, take a step back, kind of like standing out of the box, and I observe. And I keep an open mind and I just watch, and I watch a lot and I listen and I feel. And I rely on my intuition so much and my body to pick up on things in all my senses. And so I find that whatever is going on around me, I am able to take a step back and feel. And I think that is so important for all of us to do that.
That's good. That makes sense. For me, when I see that, like the town I live in, you know, I see what they post on Facebook, in the Facebook group, and I can see that they'll be going into fear for various reasons. And so I definitely send love to my town. I send golden light and I send unconditional love. And then I sit and I hold my center and just be more observer than participant. And then also I try to, in every moment that I'm experiencing, be doing things that bring me joy and whatnot. And because I think when you can find that in yourself, it has a ripple out effect. It's going to ripple out to other people because you're not one of the people sitting there complaining, feeling like you can't do anything. You're just acting on your joy. And the more you act on your joy, the more you like what you're creating. So, yeah.
Love that.
That's what I do.
I like
that. Thank you.
I might have to try that myself. Because I mean, I live in an area that is fear-based. I mean, it is in the soil. It is in every part. They breathe it and eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner here mm-hmm. in the South. And I know some people that are probably in the South may take offense to that. And I don't mean that offensively. It's an ancestral, generational within the area. I mean, it's just part of this. So I run into it quite frequently when I'm out, and I can feel the energy and waves come at me when I'm out in public. And especially with all the things that have been going on with the pandemic and everything here in the US over the last year and a half, it's been really intense down here in the South. I mean, the waves of it is incredible. I almost sometimes feel like I'm gonna get knocked over, like I've been hit by a tidal wave coming off, you know, just so I've been finding that I'm almost kind of creating, what would I call them? Like energetic baseball mitts. That might sound strange, but I'll create an energetic baseball mitts and then make them bigger and bigger and blow air into them and send them out at the community for them to catch that and transmute it. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing I could think of to kind of counterbalance it.
Yeah.
Because it makes it really difficult to be out and about sometimes mm-hmm. here. And yet I know I have to be here. It's an important place to be for now. But that's been about the only thing I've been able to think of to kind of help the energy flow better, so that more of the more uplifted, higher light can actually get seen and felt.
And with you saying that, that really just points out that even though we might have individual personalities, we're not individual energetically. We're collective energetically because we see these things, right? And we feel them. And for sure, I want my neighbors to be happy because I also want to be happy, but I want them to be happy because how much do you enjoy your own contentment if you see those around you suffering? It's more challenging. And so, yeah, us trying to, you know, send some loving, healing energy to those around us, it's really good. And also, if you're talking to people, steer them in the direction of what they love, right? Because maybe they had a hard day at work, but then you're like, oh, but you love, you know, being with your horses. You know, how are your horses doing? You can, you know, just help them to go in the right direction that really fills their heart. Yeah,
that's a good idea. Moving the conversation into an area where they feel joy.
Yes. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
I might have to add that to my baseball mitts.
Well, you know, with the lockdown and everything in our area, right, we were under stay-at-home orders. Then I go to the river and we have picnic tables and all that. And on the little island, there's picnic tables with the actual umbrellas, right? So people are doing picnics and all that. And they're like, you can go out for exercise. Oh yeah, right. The family's putting down a tablecloth and they're having a family picnic. And it's like, that's right. You do you. Don't worry about the government. So I was really glad to see people seizing the time, like seizing the moment and seizing the joy, and they're in their canoes and all that, you know, and just having fun on the water too. So yeah, whatever's happening, you can choose to see it as awful or you can choose to see it as amazing by what you focus on. It comes down to your focus at the end of the day. So, you know, yes, we've been in, you know, some degree of lockdown here for a while. But I'm just like, whatever, I'm going to focus on all the things I think are beautiful and all the things that speak to my heart. That's what I do. And I see people around here doing it too. So I'm like, yay.
That is awesome. I would love to see more of that here.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a interesting place to be energetically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you find this, Tina, up in your area as well, because it has such a parallel, I guess, to say, as far as the energetic residual stuff that we have come up and through in our areas down here. I mean, any way that we can find to balance that, because I do find it ends up, I think maybe it's a little of that energetic burnout from being out there and feeling it and hearing it, you know, when, I mean, they do a lot of complaining down here. A lot of it. And I'm not talking about just on the bigger levels of, you know, work and home. I mean, it's like, you know, you're in a store and you're going to hear people complaining and bitching about, you know, well, couldn't they have put that on this shelf rather than that shelf? or, you know, why is this here instead of there? I mean, it's just, it's a continual nag, pick, dissect, destroy type of energy. And it's really trippy, you know. There's a reason why the term redneck had come about in that type of reference, because there's a lot of stuck. It gets, it's very narrow viewed, and it's always on the very stuck channel. And I've had more and more people that were, that I've run into down here that are having to, that are getting forced to have to look at that and realize that they're needing to shift into really looking at, I guess, the result of that type of energy and type of being. Because once we got in lockdown, you know, you couldn't, you didn't have anybody else to point the fingers at. You had to sit with yourself. And people here got really kind of crazy with that. It was amazing. I've seen several families just really lose it because they can't stand their own thoughts long enough. And it really reminded me of what our topic for our talk tonight was about, because I can see when I step back away from it, I can see generational and ancestral energy sitting with them. And these people are really needing to process and find their own flow instead of what that old energy has been dictating them, because that's what this time is pushing them for and nudging and bringing it up for. And it's been interesting having to kind of look at how to balance that to be able to, you know, kind of bring the flow back into place into the community side of it. Yeah.
You know what would help them? Maybe a really good strong rain. Because that can release some of the negative emotions. You know? Mm-hmm. We could also, if you ever want, maybe all three of us could do an energy healing session on the area together. Because the three of us would make it powerful.
Yeah.
We could do that sometime.
Yeah.
You know? Shake those little shaky things, maybe some drums, you know, just move that stagnant energy. By the way, if I catch myself complaining, what I try to do is I'll catch myself because I'll be aware I'm doing it. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm going to make it funny. So I'll kind of flip it and start making it funny so that whoever I'm talking to will just start laughing, because I'll just do that instead, so that you're still releasing it, but you're releasing it with laughter.
I like that.
But as soon as you become self-aware of it, you can catch yourself, and either you can stop, you can make it funny. There's lots of things you could do, or you could go dance it out. Because you'd be like, I feel like complaining right now. I'm going to go dance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've even been found dancing with my headset on, sitting in my chair. I admit it in the public, you know.
I do that in the car. Family. I dance in the car while I'm driving.
I used to do that when I drove too. Yeah. We did it so much, me and my girls, that we actually blew the stereo speakers in my little Saturn car. And when I took it to the dealership, the guy looked at me and he's like, you know, this is the first Saturn I have ever seen come in with blown speakers. And I was like, oh, sorry.
That's funny.
It's pretty funny. But that was, I hated driving. I hated driving. And at the same time, I loved it. But if I was on the freeway open, I loved it. When I had to do driving back and forth and in town and everything else, I hated it. And in Vegas, it's always traffic and it's always intense. It's very, very stressful to drive there. So the music was the go-to. Me and the girls, up it went, and we were singing and dancing in the car. People would look at us and be like, uh-huh, okay, that family's having a little bit too much fun in the car. But it was good because it they would get nervous with the amount of traffic there. I mean, we're talking, you know, 4 and 5 lane, one side freeway. And they're all at about 75 miles an hour, you know, very intense. And so for me, it was stressful. But if I could put the music on and get the girls in on it with me, I could focus and navigate the insanity in front of me without the stress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it.
But we did blow the speakers. That's pretty bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, for the South, it's a very interesting place. It's a beautiful place. The region is very, very beautiful. A lot of things to find and experience. But during this particular period of time, with all this heightened focus astrologically on this time period, it's kind of like running in thick blood.
Yeah.
But you can't get anywhere.
Yeah.
And I see it in the community, especially with the lockdown that happened and all everything with COVID, with the pandemic and stuff. I've really seen a different side come forward. And so even that has challenged me about change, because I was almost like, you know, maybe we should just sell the house and get the hell out of here. You know, I want to go back to California. Send me back to the West. And Spirit's like, no, honey. No, 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 no. You're staying here. And I've had to figure out how to balance the stagnant stuff that's being, it almost feels like you hit a thick cloud of it and still be able to be in the flow in my own world. And yet my community is like in that thick mud Tina was talking about, but it's old blood kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking there's three, I just want to give some tips out to the listeners here that are going through this as well. And I have three tips to manifestation. So even with what we're talking about, even if we want to manifest a feeling of more love in the world or more joy in our lives, or it could be a tangible thing we're trying to manifest, you know, there's these three steps. And the first one is to be clear about what you want and to be very clear and put that out. And then you're going to let it go. Because if we focus on it too much, we can block it. So if we focus on too much, we can actually block what we're trying to manifest. So we're going to be clear about what we want, and then we're going to let it go. Number two, we're going to cultivate that feeling. And what that means is we're going to sit and we're going to dwell in that feeling. Really feel into what that feels like. So if you are trying to put out more love into the world, sit and feel what that feels like. Visualize it and imagine it and really just dwell into that feeling. And number three is to take actions to support that feeling. So when we're sitting into that feeling of more love into the world, then we need to think about what actions can we take to support that feeling. And maybe it is reaching out into the community, helping others. Maybe it is, if you know, we're looking to manifest more joy in our lives, maybe it's to sit down and allow that time to do things that give us that joy. And whether it's a physical, tangible thing that we want to manifest, we need to take the action to cultivate that feeling. So let's say we want to be own our own business, right? Well, what does it feel like to own your own business, right? What does that feel like to you? What feelings are you looking for? Then you're going to take those actions based on those feelings. So we need movement in order to do so. And so I just wanted to share that with everyone. These three simple tips for manifestation, you know, whether it be, like I said, a feeling for others, something for ourselves, or something even physically tangible.
Those are really good, Tina.
Thank you.
That was awesome, Tina.
Oh, thank you.
I really like that. Yeah, and I'd say, you know, if you're feeling stuck, first thing is to become aware of it. Once you can become aware that, oh, I am feeling stuck, that's what's going on with me. Okay. Then you can begin to, you know, look at where and why to find, or even the how. Mm-hmm. To then begin to find your answers of how to get back out of it. And sometimes it's really being brutally honest with yourself. I know I had to do that for myself. I had to really get brutally honest about why was I stagnant, and why was I getting ready to just go bloop out of the picture. And, you know, but that honesty and really bringing it deep into your heart can bring some realizations that you hadn't wanted to look at before, to bring yourself back in to the flow and start moving forward with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you, Natasha?
That definitely makes sense. Yeah, I think when you're feeling uncomfortable, you have to look at it. And maybe write it down. Write down what's making you feel uncomfortable. What's the situation about? And write it down so you can look at it, you know? But just always checking into how you're feeling. What else? And that balance too, of listening to your family and friends too, if they're going through anything, just also listen to what they have to say, and then help them to focus back on what they love and what they're about, you know, what's their deeper essence. You know, don't be too busy to not be there for them, you know. Mm-hmm. Slow things down so you can actually be there for the people around you, and then just be self-loving towards yourself. And always self-loving words towards yourself and self-loving action towards yourself. And again, that'll have a ripple effect. The more self-love we have for ourselves, the more it'll ripple out to those around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So yeah, we had some really great, with all of us, great things to say about getting into that flow, not to have fear of change, and you know, getting out of that stagnant energy. So, been fantastic, and I love everybody's ways of getting out of that stagnant energy. That was really great.
I think so too, because when people are listening, they're going to vibe with different things that the three of us are saying. Mm-hmm. And certain things are going to speak to their heart, and they can continue with their evolution. Mm-hmm. And have it be on a higher timeline.
Absolutely. All right, Shannon, Do you want to take over on the announcement that we're going to do for our show?
Sure. Wonderful. So for our listeners and the Sacred Embers team, Tina, Natasha, and I are going to be opening up a post in the Sacred Embers group, as well as on our personal pages on Facebook, for you to enter a drawing for the month of July. You will receive 1 hour with the team on Zoom. We will be doing a reading for you, and you will also be receiving a healing from Natasha. There will be a couple rules, as this will be recorded for our blog talk show for July. Your privacy will be kept name to first name only. But watch that post, because in order to enter, you're going to want to list as your entry one of the items that the hosts have discussed as their tools for getting back in the flow and letting it roll. So you get to enter only one time per day with a comment. The drawing will be open from June 21st through June 30th. It will be closed at midnight, June 30th, and we will draw a name from all of the entries and announce the winner on Facebook Live. And then we will be meeting with you and giving you a one-on-three session. Just be prepared.
Thank you. I love that. Well, that is so exciting, and I'm looking forward to doing that with you guys. So that's going to be amazing. So this concludes the show for this evening. Thank you both so much for being here. This has been a great show, and I see Shannon, your fingers going up.
Artie finally came in and wanted to say his hellos.
Oh, here he is. Hi, baby. So I know you guys can't see us, but it's Shannon's cat. Just I heard some talking earlier. Oh, that's hilarious. Yes. Well, he's always part of our show, right?
Oh, yes.
That's amazing. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. It's great to be here with you ladies. And we will be on air. What is that? What's the date, Shannon? Do you know the date for our next live?
Or to be announced soon?
Yes, okay, to be announced soon. And then we'll also be coming on to do that show in a few weeks. And so stay tuned for that as well. And I think that's it, ladies. Hope you both have a wonderful evening, and I will speak to you soon. Take care.
Have a good night. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Have an awesome night, guys. Bye.